Morning, everyone. I want to thank... You can hear me? Great. I want to thank the elders for giving me this opportunity to talk with you this morning. I fully expect and believe that over the next 30 minutes or so, a miracle's going to happen. I'm going to speak some words, and there'll be some slides and pictures up the back. But you, if you're paying attention, will hear God speak to your mind and your heart. And that's an amazing thing. So let's just pray that that would happen. Lord, you are indeed amazing, an amazing God. Not only are you the creator of all the stars, of all the things we see around us, but you know each of us by name, and you can talk to each of us individually. I pray now that you would help us to be open to what you want to say to us and how you would have us respond, that we may reflect the glory of your name in Jesus Christ. Amen. There we go. What's in a name? In Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, Juliet speaks, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet." Juliet's not actually wanting a flower to be called something different. No, she's bemoaning the name of her lover, Romeo. "It shouldn't matter," she says, "what his name is." Not the Romeo part, but the fact that he is a Montague, from a rival family, and that they are sworn enemies. Ah, but that his name would not be Montague, that it would be Romeo something else. "It shouldn't matter," she says. But unfortunately, it does matter. And we find out that they both end up dying for the sake of their names. We know that baby names matter. Does that work? Hang on. Baby names. Can we go to the next slide? Baby names matter. So we spend a lot of time, don't we, when babies are born, deliberating over what name we shall give the baby. It's a very stressful time. So the government, bless them, has set up a website to help new parents choose or find a baby name that's suitable. And on this website, they list the most popular baby names, and this is for last year, for 2024. You can see the top 10 boys and top 10 girls' names there. So on the boys, Noah, Oliver, Luca, Jack, and Elijah, a couple of biblical names, so sort of good. And on the girls' side, Isla, Amelia, Charlotte, Isabella, and some of you will be parents of children with those names. But trends change, don't they? And I thought it'd be interesting to go back to the year I was born. If I can go back to the year I was born. That one. No. There. That's the year I was born. Now, treats. So three guesses. So I'd want you up to three guesses to know what year this is. So someone, anyone want to guess? Who said that? Oh, come and... Oh, you can't come and get your jockey, so would someone like to take these back to Sonia? 66? No, it's later than that. I'm not that old, Sonia. 71, you very much deserve chocolates because I'm not that young. 69, not that young either. No, so I only said three guesses, otherwise we'd be going on for quite a while. Never mind. There we go. Thank you for participating, that's the main thing. Yeah. 1967. There we go. I was number five on the list. So lots of biblical names on the boys' side. Eight of those, I think, biblical names. And on the girls' side, Karen, Lisa, Michelle, Tracy, Deborah. Good biblical name. Something's happening there. And these are boys and girls I grew up with. Oh, you are lucky that we were born in the same year. The thing is, names are important to us, aren't they? We like to think that who we are, though, is more important than our names. Though there have been some psychological studies to show that actually your name can impact who you are. So your name can be an influencer of your preferences, your social interactions, even your career choices. And you may have seen sometimes somebody with an odd name has a name that matches their occupation. If your name is Dennis or Denise, you are far more likely to be a dentist than anyone else. Are there any Dennises or Denises who are dentists here? Do you like your name? It's a thing with asking a whole lot of questions at the start, isn't it, to get you to think. The bit that I don't like about my name is the L and then the S, so that the Paul signal, like it's just hard for me to say. You might be able to say it, but that's the only little bit I don't really like about my name. Is your name important to you? Having a good name means that your character is worthy of a decent level of respect. Having a bad name means that people can sometimes judge you, even when you're trying to turn your life around. So with that background, let's have a look at this passage this morning in Genesis 10 and 11. Let's just recap of where we are in the story. So we've had creation with Adam and Eve, and then we had the fall, and then we had the fall from the fall, where things went from bad to worse, and then last week we had Noah, and God remembered Noah and his three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now in chapters 10 and 11, we see what happened to those three sons. And we can count up the names in Genesis 10 and 11. And it's said on the video as well, something interesting, that there's 70 new names there. And just as there were 10 generations from God to Noah, so there are 10 generations from Noah, and we haven't got there yet, but from Noah through to Abraham. Now, 10 generations, that's a long time. In our family, we have three generations. So we have grandparents and grandchildren, Many families now will have four generations, so great-grandparents and great-grandchildren. And there might be a few of you who are very lucky to have five generations with great-great-grandparents or great-great-grandchildren. That's five, and that would be something rare, I think. So 10 generations is definitely a long time. The original readers of Genesis, so Genesis through to Deuteronomy, the first five books of the Bible, were later than this. It's widely accepted that Genesis was written by Moses before the people entered the Promised Land. So we're along here on our timeline a bit further. After they've been wandering through the desert for a complete generation. And you can imagine the people at that time asking Moses, "Hey Moses, what's God like?" Or, "Hey Moses, how did we get here?" And as they're about to go into the Promised Land, "Hey Moses, how did they get there?" Those people, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, Hevites, and Jebusites, how about them? So in this passage in Genesis 11, we find a lot of answers to those questions. And today we're going to read this a little bit differently. I'm not going to read it verses 1 to 9, because this passage has an amazing structure. I've just been delighted to get into this passage and see just the richness of it. It's not poetry, but it does go through things in a very structured way. So, and it sort of works from the top and the bottom towards the middle. So we'll just start with the top and the bottom. Now the whole world had one language and a common speech. As people moved eastward, they found a plain in Shinar and settled there. So the Lord scattered them from there over all the earth, and they stopped building the city. That is why it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the whole world. From there the Lord scattered them over the face of the whole earth. So these four verses are telling the outline of the story. At the top, this is what the world was like, and this is what the people did. At the bottom, this is what God did, and this is how the world became. At the start, there was one language and a common speech. And I wondered, well, like, what do they mean, one language and a common speech? And the common speech, I think, is saying a common culture. They say language is culture. And at the start, people had one language and the same way of speaking about things. And at the end, different languages. And not just different languages, but different cultures. They were confused. And God had confused them intentionally. So why? This is the point of the structure. So why did this happen? It draws you in. What was supposed to have happened? Remember, back at creation, or shortly after creation, God had said to Adam and Eve, "Be fruitful and multiply." And then we didn't quite get it last week, but for Noah, after the flood, God said to Noah and his sons, "Be fruitful and multiply." Be fruitful, and to Noah he says, "Be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it." Now, why did he say this? He said it because God's in the business of spreading his name throughout the whole world. God is great. God is awesome. God is abounding in love. He's slow to anger. He is faithful and just. He is forgiving and mighty. He's compassionate and kind and strong and awesome. And he wants the whole world to know how awesome or just how fantastic he is. He wants the whole world to be filled with the knowledge and glory of God. Because he's created this whole world. He's created these amazing people in his image. And the whole world is going to be like a living monument to the character of God. And what did they do? They found a plain in China and settled there. Have you settled? I mean, you live in Cambridge, or if you're visiting, you live somewhere else. And having a place to live is a good thing. We sort of all have to have a place to live. But have you settled? Have you stopped? Have you given up? I find it interesting that this part of the Bible in Genesis is before the Ten Commandments were given, before the law. But it's quite clear that God was looking for people of faith and action. By faith, Abel brought a better offering. By faith, Noah built an ark. And now, because of a lack of faith, these people, these descendants of Noah, settle. They weren't on board with God's business. So what happened? Next installment of the story. They said to each other, "Come, let's make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They used brick instead of stone and tar for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens, so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth." The Lord said, "If as one people speaking the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language so they will not understand each other." They said, "Come, let us make bricks." They said, "Come, let us build a city." Come, let us. It's a cry back to the fall and what Bradley talked about, King Me. But now, it's King Us. This is like the first communal sin. We want to be masters of our own destiny. Come, let us do whatever we want. Let us rise up. Let us make a name for ourselves. We'll be famous. The Lord said, "Come, let us go down." What they said didn't last. What the Lord said, it happened. It's such a contrast, and in the structure, it's intentional that these "come, let us" are highlighted as opposites. People saying "come, let us," it's themselves trying to make themselves the king. But God says, "Come, let us. I am the king." Now, this passage is not saying that God is against bricks. He's not against baking. He's not against using tar or the world's hydrocarbon resources. But he is against us making a name for ourselves. He is against us going our own way. He is against us hurting ourselves. And why? Because God's in the business of spreading his name throughout the whole world. Now, this next slide, I'm a little bit nervous about putting up this next slide, to be honest, and I don't want you to get the wrong idea about some of these things that I put up. So they're pictures of me and my life, and I just, on one hand, I want you to let you know that I'm a real person, right, just like you, and at various stages of my life, I have tried making a name for myself. I'm like these people in Genesis. I have wanted to be King Me, and I still struggle with wanting to be King Me. But on the other hand, I don't want you to think that these things are inherently bad. Achievements are not bad. Friends are not bad. Family is not bad. But me trying to make a name for myself through these things is not good. So on the, I have to think of what side, but the bottom right. So I work as an engineer designing dairy factories, and I'm very fortunate that I can drive around the country and see a lot of examples of dairy factories that are no longer. Making my a name for myself in a dairy factory is just pathetic. Anyone working in construction, in manufacturing or engineering, anything to do with housing, you will be intensely aware that your deeds will not last forever. We can try to make a name through our achievements. That guy in the middle at the bottom, yeah, it is me. Qualifications, prizes, first places, sporting achievements, certificates and trophies. We are taught to strive for excellence, to work hard, to be someone. These things are not bad by themselves, but they are if the reason for doing them is to make a name for yourself. Some people try to make a name for themselves through their families. We can be striving to meet the expectations of our parents. This is what my dad would have wanted. Or we may want our children to grow up to be good people so that they wouldn't embarrass us. These things are ultimately selfish. Social media, friends. Social media fools us into thinking that friends validate us. I don't know if 65 friends is a lot or little or whatever, but social media is set up to hook you in with a dopamine hit every time someone likes your post or follows you or views your Instagram or whatever that does or gives you kudos on Strava. It's focusing you on your name, but instead you should be focusing on God's name. The picture at the top right, That is where Vicky and I lived when we first got married. So 88 Oxford Terrace in Brisbane. Okay, we were renting that place. It hasn't changed much in 30-odd years. But how much of our culture is spent validating ourselves by the house we live in or the things we own? And what about our church? Do we want to belong to a great church? Or do we want to be a people that belong to a great God? Do we want to belong to a great church? Or do we want to be a people that belong to a great God? I really think that God wants to do business with some of us today. Where are you? Where are you trying to make a name for yourself? So, get out your notepaper. Hopefully you've got notepaper like that. And write on it with your pen these six areas. So, it could be career or occupation, achievements, friends, family, possessions, and church. And put a number against them. So just rank them, 1 to 6. So 1 would be, I invest a lot of myself in this. So put that as a 1. And number 6, God is Lord, entirely Lord of this part of my life. So maybe if you haven't got a piece of notepaper, just do it in your head. So 6 items, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And I tend to go from, yeah, I'm not so good on this one, but this is okay, and then work inwards. And now have a look. I'll just give you some time to do that. So that thing you've got is number 1. I invest a lot of my time, a lot of myself in this, and I'm trying to validate myself through this area. Just have a quick discussion with God about what He may be saying to you there. Just want to go through the final verse. This is the pivotal verse, similar to how Luke talked last week about Noah, and in the middle, God remembered Noah. This is a pivotal verse here. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower the people were building. The critical moment in the city, in this Tower of Babel, the Lord came down to see. They were trying to build themselves up. The Lord came down to see. In Genesis 1 and 2, the Lord was in the garden with Adam and Eve. Forgotten my note, sorry. The Lord was in the garden. He was, like, He had come down. And then sin came and the closeness was there no longer. Later in our series, we'll learn that when the people left Egypt, the Lord came down and led the people through the cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. when the temple gets built, the glory of the Lord comes down and fills the temple. And later in the story that we shall see that God himself comes down and his name is Jesus. And he comes down and is with us. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. And he is present in our lives and with us. And then at Pentecost, just after his death and his resurrection, the Holy Spirit comes down, settles on them like tongues of fire, and God is now in us who believe. God is not out there, but God desires to be in here and with us. The thing that I really want to get across is that God didn't come down to Babel to judge it. He came down to Babel to correct it so that people wouldn't hurt themselves by following after their own names. He knows that the best thing for us is to be following his name, to be worshipping him, to be putting him first. The Lord came down to see, and he comes down to see you. Take a look at your list. What would he have you do with that? And now today, what is God's business? It's just the same. God is in the business of spreading his name throughout the whole world. John 13, 34, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. Love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And the Great Commission in Matthew 28, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Will you build your own tower? Will you have God come down to see what you are building? Or will you be God's number one fan? Now, that's the end of my talk. There will be a sheet of questions that if you have children that they will pick up, and they are following the same story. I'm fairly confident that you'll be able to answer or discuss these questions with your kids. But pick that up if you want to have something to remember the message by. Let's pray. Lord, your name is great. You are an awesome God, and we are so thankful that you have brought us here to this place and to this time that we may know you, and that you may be active in our lives. Lord, these things that we have thought about this morning, our family, our friends, our achievements, our possessions, our careers, we want you to really be Lord and Master of them. We know that we've been selfish in seeking to make a name for ourselves in some of these areas. So I just pray for us today as we want to make a difference in that area of our life. Lord, would you, through your Holy Spirit, help us and guide us and encourage us. We thank you for your word, Lord, and thank you that you promise to be with us to the very end of the age, that you are here and you are present in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.